and welcome to Right to Life of Michigan's Life Beat podcast. I am Anna Plymert, and I'm here today with Grace Hemicky.
Hello.
Chris is out of the office today, unfortunately, so it's just Grace and I, and we are going to be talking about a new poll that came out in the last couple of days, I'm assuming, about medical aid in dying in Canada. And we're also going to be giving some highlights from our oratory contest that we had this past weekend. Let's just get right into it. This new poll came out from people in Canada, and they were asked, we have the poll right in front of us, series of questions relating to medical aid in dying. They were asked what they think about medical aid in dying for the poor, homeless, people in poverty, people that have mental illnesses. And it says from this poll, it says this poll was released May 5th, so very recent. It says 28% of Canadians support euthanasia for homelessness, and 27% support it when it comes to poverty, which is pretty alarming that a whole country has moved in the direction of we just want to get rid of a lot of homeless people. There's no point to them.
Yeah, I've seen reports listing the costs of medical assistance for these people against the cost of medical aid in dying. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous how much financial burden the state will not have to bear if these homeless and poor people accept euthanasia. I mean, it's very much more affordable for the state to just euthanize all of these people instead of caring for them, which is, I mean, for a state that generally they're more pragmatic and utilitarian, they think more in terms of numbers. That's a really bad incentive to have.
Yeah, it is. The poll goes on to ask if Canadians are okay overall with the current MAID laws. And 73% said that they are overall okay with the current laws, which I guess is down 3% since 2021. I feel like there's been recent news stories that have come out in the last couple years since they took the last poll on this in 2021 that have been so alarming. So I don't know if Canada is just so used to medical aid in dying. Like, you hear about the stories of the former Olympian who was asking if she could get a ramp to her house, and they suggested medical aid in dying to her because she needed a ramp. Things like that, where you see people that can't afford their housing or they have depression and they get medical aid in dying suggested to them.
Right. So those 73% who are satisfied with the current law are satisfied with laws that allow homeless people and people in poverty to apply for euthanasia. And that law's expanding, is it next year or later, to include teens with mental disorders that are not terminal?
I think they were trying to include mental disorders that are, what's the word I'm looking for? Chronic, but not
fatal?
Yes.
Right.
And they said it got pushed back another year. NPR, actually, Matt Walsh was talking about this and saying that NPR was saying hopefully in the next year they'll accept mental illness into the law. Which is crazy to say, because you're basically supporting just suicide at that point. That's what it is.
Right.
For anyone.
What teenager hasn't gone through some stage of their life where they were depressed or had some sort of mental, maybe it was undiagnosed, but what teenager hasn't had that period of their life.
Well, and I think they say 25% of people in the U.S. have claimed they have a mental illness.
So if that number of people could apply for euthanasia in Canada, yeah, be eligible for that, that is a terrifying number.
That is a terrifying number. And also, you think about it, you have therapists and counselors. You go to these people to get help, and hopefully they don't encourage you to commit suicide.
Right.
But it seems like maybe in the future you could go to a therapist and they would encourage you to commit suicide.
Right. That depends on what your definition of help is. If these people just want all of their suffering to go away, mm-hmm, and we kind of do have this culture where, you know, you take a pill and the problem's solved within a few hours. Like, isn't euthanasia functionally just like that? You take a pill, you get lethal injection, and in, mm-hmm, a short time, all of your problems go away. It's that quick fix mindset that, yeah, doesn't really value human life.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's the slippery slope. People say that a lot. And maybe there are, I don't know, I guess I don't know the stats, but maybe there are a big group of people that support medical aid of dying for that small number of people that they feel bad for and they feel they need it, but they don't realize that once you open that up, it's a slippery slope. So it's kind of shocking to me that only 3% of Canadians, that number decreased only 3%, because you can see even within the last couple of years, they have gone down the slippery slope, a steep one, in fact. And you can see the news stories about it. And so I'm just kind of surprised that the number's only down 3%.
Yeah, that does seem odd. Because it does start with emotion, right? Like, you feel really bad for, right, these old people who, they have terminal illnesses. Mm-hmm. They're probably in a lot of pain. Quality of life is terrible. And right, so you want to give them a more dignified way of dying. That's where it starts. But then you can apply that logic to people who are not terminally ill. They're just in pain. Or you can apply that logic to people who aren't even in pain or terminally ill. They just have poor quality of life.
Right.
And you can keep walking that back until you're applying the euthanasia logic to people who just don't like their life. And that's where that's going to end up with teenagers with mental disorders. Mm-hmm. I mean, those people, they're going through radical changes in their brains, in their personal lives. And it's something that every human being has to learn to deal with. That's not something that you kill a person for, right, learning to go through.
And I think they asked another question about disabilities and people that can't get medical treatment. I think it just goes to show that if you have poor quality of life, people are going to, I don't know, because this poll says 51% of Canadians supported MAID for people that couldn't get the medical treatment that they needed. And then 50% supported it for those with disabilities.
Okay, so I would immediately think back to that study I saw. I wish I had it here. That showed the cost, the financial cost of, mm-hmm, MAID versus medical treatment. If Canadians support euthanasia for people who can't get medical assistance, and if euthanasia is cheaper for the government than providing medical assistance, the government is incentivized not to provide medical assistance. They will save, right, money by withholding it or making it more difficult to access. It's just a terrible setup. I mean, regardless of the good intent of helping people die a dignified death or helping,
well,
people
that's
find
what
a way
citizens
out.
Believe they think that that's what they're doing by supporting this, but they don't. I would think it's common knowledge, and maybe we just know that from our what we do every day, that actually the government is silently supporting this by
Well, they have to be passing these laws. I mean, that's not even silent. That's
or withholding medical treatment that you should, if you were giving it to people, then they wouldn't be seeking this.
Right.
But yeah, maybe people don't realize that it goes back to how much money it all costs. For the disability aspect of it, it's very sad that 50% of people don't think that if you have a disability, your quality of life is so awful that you should commit suicide.
Right. Yeah, and we laugh because, I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
But that really, I'm going to philosophize for a second. That comes down to how you define quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't walk, does that mean your quality of life is poor? If you're a rich person who can't walk and you live a happy life and you're very fulfilled, would the government look at you and say, you live poor quality of life because you can't walk? Like, who defines
that? In Canada, apparently, because that former, I think she was a...
She was a veteran, a disabled veteran who wanted the stair
lift.
Was
she a veteran or was she in the Olympics?
I know there was a veteran who applied to get a stair lift for her home. Maybe. There may have also been an Olympian, but I don't remember that one.
She was in the Paralympics, it seems like. Maybe I'm getting
that might have been the same person.
Yeah. They figured that if she needs a ramp or a stair lift, then she must have poor quality of life. And it's so awful that we should send her information about medical aid and dying in
right.
the mail.
They volunteered that.
Yeah.
She didn't even ask for it.
No, they just sent it to her after she requested to have that service put into her home.
So she was trying to increase the quality of right. her life. And instead of doing that, the government offered her euthanasia. That is insane.
Yeah. It's very insane. And it's very sad. And I hope that does not come to Michigan. I suppose we'll see in the next couple years if it makes its way here. Luckily, it's been illegal since the beginning of our state.
It's never been legal in Michigan, has it?
I don't think so.
Well, that's good. I know it's legal in some other states. I think yes. Washington and Oregon.
I think there's 13 states.
That's a lot of states.
Yeah. Luckily, all of them, well, most of them have not been able to get to Canada's level.
Okay, so they're still at the start of the slippery
yeah,
slope.
Yeah, they're still, okay, you can have medical aid in dying if you have this fatal diagnosis and you're gonna die soon, basically.
What? That's not good. That's a lot of states. 13. Yeah.
But that's goodness. How Canada started, and we can see how where they are now. Yeah. So I do know that we had a ballot citizen initiative in,
would it be the 90s?
Yes.
Okay.
And obviously that got defeated. So that is good news that, I mean, that was kind of a long time ago, obviously. Hopefully, if that ever comes up again, we can defeat it again. And you can just point to Canada and say, look at all of these awful stories and how people with disabilities. Also, I was wondering earlier when we were talking about disabilities, what do people think of when they hear disabilities?
I mean, the first thing that pops into my mind is like a blind person or someone in a wheelchair. Maybe the more obvious.
Because that's really broad.
That's true. The medical definition of disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And it all does come down to how it's defined, doesn't
yeah.
it? Quality of life. You need a definition.
Well, this poll probably just said disability.
And let people come up with whatever
yeah.
is in their brain. Okay.
So that's why I'm asking, what do people think of when they hear disability?
Hmm. That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe they were thinking the worst possible disability. And that's why they said 50%. I'm just trying to come up with some sort of way that people justified supporting that. There's not really one, but
For a healthy person, a person who doesn't have any disabilities,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be really jarring to take a minute and try and imagine yourself in that position. Like,
that's true.
I mean, I've had injuries where I couldn't walk for several months.
Yeah.
And that's irritating, to say the least. And now that I can, like, it's scary to think that there would be a period of time that you don't know how long it's going to be. Maybe you have an accident or something, and mm-hmm. then you can't move in some way. Like, that's a frightening thought.
Right.
That's quite possibly what pops into people's minds when they think of someone with a disability, and they're comparing it to their own ideal situation. I mean, it's really easy to give into the despair of, oh, things aren't going to get better. Why not just end it?
Yes.
It's going to be a peaceful way out or a dignified way out. And then,
which is a whole nother aspect of that conversation, that it is not peaceful. Anyway, we're going to move on. I'm sure there'll be more polls coming out and more news from Canada, as it seems like something about MAID comes out every day that is disheartening. But moving on to our 34th annual oratory contest that we held this past Saturday, and Grace organized it all. And yeah, do you want to give a little summary?
Yeah, that was very encouraging to see. There were 19 pro-life high schoolers we had come out, and they all gave speeches on euthanasia or abortion. It was just great to see the pro-life youth, the next generation, rallying around. I think we had over 80 people in attendance.
Wow.
But yeah, it was really good experience. Our winners were, first place, we had Hannah Abel from Tri-Cities Right to Life, and she's going to go on to represent Michigan at the National Right to Life Oratory Contest in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in June.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So all the best luck to Hannah Abel. We hope you do an amazing job there. Our second place winner was from right here in Grand Rapids, Emily Ranchert. And our third place winner was Abigail Rise from St. Clair County Right to Life. And it was just a really great lineup. I think even our judges said that it was within half a point of the winners. They
had
a terrible time deciding how to score these. But it was a really good showing of just the pro-life youth in Michigan. So we hope that a lot of people will sign up and apply for our 35th annual oratory contest next year.
And what do the winners win?
So we have scholarships for the winners. They all three of them got several hundred dollars each. We're sending Hannah Abel to National Oratory again, but we're going to be mentioning them. Obviously, we're mentioning them here on Lifebeat, but we will be mentioning our three winners in our conference book this fall. We'll be mentioning them in our Right to Life of Michigan newsletter, which comes out in the summer. And we've already mentioned them on our blog, which is on our website at rtl.org.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely a cool event, and it's just kind of fun to see the youth get together, make friends, because a lot of them are from different cities across Michigan. And I remember thinking in high school when I would go to like the March for Life, and you see all of these young people super excited, and maybe you live in your little bubble in your own town and you feel alone. So it's just nice to go to events like that where you're like, okay, there are other kids that have my beliefs and know what it's like. And so it's just a cool event to see them all come together, and they're excited to give their speeches. And
yeah, and it's scary to have to go up and give a speech too. I mean, I did speech when I was in high school. That's nerve-wracking. People don't like public speaking. So it takes a lot of courage to speak out on a controversial topic, even in a friendly room. Just the act of speaking is hard. So we're really proud of all 19 of those kids who showed up. That was great to see.
And maybe next year, since it's the 35th annual contest, it'll be even bigger.
We'll get 35 contestants.
Yes.
Set that as a goal.
Yes. Well, I think that wraps up our episode for this week, we're cutting it short because our week is cut short from Memorial Weekend. So we hope that you all have a wonderful holiday with your friends and family, that you can relax, and the weather is supposed to be really amazing. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great weekend.